Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Well, welcome to the Jacob Kersey program, the 2023 edition. And this year has already been quite a year to remember for me. But we have a lot of exciting things ahead of us, and we'll get to all that. But I must say, there's no better way to start off the year than talking about a new Left Behind movie. This one in particular, coming out on January 26th, is directed by and starring Kevin Sorbo. He's an actor, producer, writer, and who better to have on the podcast to talk about the movie than the man himself, Kevin Sorbo. And if you've listened to the show, Kevin is not a stranger. He's a friend, and we've had him on multiple times. Kevin, thanks for joining us again today.
My pleasure, and I appreciate you guys getting the word out there about this wonderful movie that needs to be seen by everybody who cares about what the world is coming to.
Absolutely, I would agree, and I'm excited to be talking to you about this. So while you were starring as Hercules and Captain Dylan Hunt in the 90s and early 2000s, Tim LaHaye and Jerry B. Jenkins were actually writing the books Left Behind. And I know you and I have spoken in times past about films that you've been working on, and so I'm curious to know why this movie.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I read those books when they came out, and was a big fan of them. And then this is kind of a full circle thing for me, because back in 2010, Jerry Jenkins funded a movie that I was in called What If. And What If is from the same writers that did God's Not Dead. And I know God's Not Dead was a big hit, and I know there's people out there that saw that movie. What If is written by the same guys in a much better movie in my book. And the trouble with independent movies is, how do you get them out there when you don't have a $100 million advertising budget like James Cameron does for Avatar, right? So What If deserves a bigger audience. I told the director to re-release that movie because so many people don't know about it and still plays so well today. And that director happens to be Jerry Jenkins' son by the name of Dallas Jenkins, who's doing a little bitty big hit right now called The Chosen. And so and for them, and let's see, the last Left Behind movie came out back in 2014, same year God's Not Dead came out. And Nick Cage played the role that I'm playing now in this next stage of the book, the Rayford Steele role, the pilot role. Well, they got inundated with emails back in 2014 saying, why did you book Nick Cage in that role? You should have booked Kevin Sorbo. So they called me from Toronto. The company that owns the rights, they're called Cloud 10, based in Toronto. And so they called me up and they flew out to L.A. when I was living in L.A. at the time. I live in Florida now, thank God. And they said, look, we want you to be in the next movie. Well, it took a long time for everything to get together and come together with other projects ahead. So 2 years ago, they said, we're going to do a major rewrite on the movie where we're going to originally have you in. And because we want to bring it in the modern day. And when I say modern day, they want to bring it into the world that's happening now. Because we talk about, you know, the government's wanting one world. They want one currency. They want control of our lives. They want to put fear into us like they've been doing so much lately. So they rewrote the script. I directed it a year ago. It's now coming out in 1,500 screens. Jerry Jenkins, who wrote the Left Behind book, so here's that full circle thing, said it is by far and away the best Left Behind movie made from the books yet. And he says it is perfect timing for what the world is going through right now. Because as my wife jokes, she goes, I feel like the rapture already happened, because you look at all the anger and hate and divisiveness that is in our world right now. It feels like it's there, and unfortunately, we were left behind. So it's crazy times out there right now, and I think this movie is going to really wake up a lot of people.
So you mentioned the 2014 Left Behind movie with Nicolas Cage. So where does this new movie fall in the timeline of all the events?
It's 6 months later. So the rapture's already happened. What's left in the world are all the non-believers. You know, everybody from BLM to to Antifa and everybody beyond that as well. And it's people that just, you know, and obviously they're good people. I've got atheist friends, agnostic friends that are very good people, but they just don't believe, which is too bad because I say you guys have no hope in your life. And all you have is like your faith is a very strong faith because you don't believe in anything, which is very sad. But it really deals with that. There's about four or five different storylines that all come together at the very end. The role from mine, Rayford Steele, his journey is 6 months later. He's come to terms with it. He was on a plane when people disappeared. His pilot disappeared. He was taken. So he knows it happened. He knows his wife warned him about this. His wife was a Christian. His son was a Christian. He and his daughter were non-believers. They were left behind, which is perfectly left the college daughter behind because we're a college students today believing in socialism and communism, right? So he's on his own journey, looking through the Bible that his wife had, looking at all the markings she had, all the things she said. He finally makes it to the church that his wife always went to. And who does he find in the church? He finds the pastor. And this isn't like giving something away because you can see it in the trailer. If you go to leftbehindmovie.com, leftbehindmovie.com, you can see the trailer. Plus, you can find out what theater is showing near you. And I look at him and he stares at me. He goes, go ahead and ask. And I say, why are you still here? And he admits that he had lost his faith. And that's not too far from what's going on in churches today, because ever since COVID, you see a lot of churches falling into that woke cancel culture world as well. It's gone crazy out there. And I think this movie has really hit a lot of current day events for people and hit a lot of nerves, and people hopefully will wake up. And I want people to take friends of all faiths and non-faiths. They should see this movie. It's got a great message in it.
Now, Kevin, I'm intrigued by something that a point you made just now. You talked about the college student that was left behind, and
sure.
I think it's interesting when you also look. You played a college professor in God's Not Dead who attacked a college student who believed in Christ, and all the other college students just went along with the college professor. So how do you hope that this new Left Behind movie? I know you're hoping that it'll touch all audiences, but specifically that group. What do you hope it'll do for them?
Well, number one, I hope they go. You know, you talk about atheists, agnostics, and a lot of them say, hey, do you want to go to church? Church people are there. You know, because it's really been the mainstream media and our Hollywood that have totally controlled the culture and destroyed the culture to where it is now, because they have their agenda and they push evil. They put hate, push hate. They push over sexualization. They push, divisiveness and anger. And it's just unbelievable what's coming out. They push the fact that the bad guys are the heroes out there. And that's what they've done. They've done that since the 60s. They've made the bad person as the guy to look up to, which is just really weird. And I mean, even look at even sitcoms, what do? They got the dad who's fat and out of shape, the mom is hot and cool, and they treat everybody, including the kids, treat dad like a joke. And look what it's done to the families out there right now. Look what it's done to people even wanting to get married right now and even have kids. They have destroyed the culture and they control it. And politics runs downstream from culture. So I want to get movies out there that Hollywood used to make. And that's why I'm doing movies like God's Not Dead and Soul Surfer and What If and Let There Be Light. And I'm going to keep doing movies like that. I'm hoping this movie makes people wake up a little bit. I hope it makes people go read the book of Revelation, because that's what it deals with. It deals with the last Bible chapter in the Bible. And it's very fascinating. I've read that chapter a few times in my life. And for me, it provides hope. It provides faith. And, other people look at it like it's a scary sci-fi movie or something, which is fine to me. But I hope people will come out of this theater having conversations about it. Look, I like a good Avengers movie, too. But you really walk out. It's all about a roller coaster ride on visual effects. I want to do movies that make people talk and think and maybe have characters that people relate to. And you mentioned Professor Radisson and God's Not Dead. I always joke. They say, I played an atheist college professor. Then I apologize. I say, sorry, that's redundant. I played a college professor. That's all I got to say. So it kind of covers that. But I'm hoping that people will go see this movie, because I get people walking up to me. That whether agnostic, faith-based, or whatever it may be, and they say, look, I saw your movie. I'm not Christian like you are, but I found it that was kind of cool. I thought it was interesting. To me, that's a win, that they took that time to watch the movie. They didn't come out bashing. You don't want to believe in God. Fine, don't believe in God. But all I know is that you can't get something from nothing. So, atheists of the world and Christians of the world, you didn't create the world. You know, somebody else that's far more powerful than any of us are.
Yeah, I love what you said there about how a lot of people look at the Book of Revelation and End Times and the Left Behind movies and they're scared. But, you don't have to be scared. There's so much hope in the Book of Revelation. That's the whole point. It points to Jesus, who is the hope. And, what I think is interesting, you also mentioned your atheist and agnostic friends. I like to tell them, you know, hey, you're actually in the movie. You should come see it, because the film brings up the question, if God, why suffering? So there's those atheists, agnostics, and skeptics in the movie, and we tend to hear that question a lot. And Kevin, I'm sure you've had this question a lot with the pandemics and shootings and natural disasters in recent years. So how do you answer that question?
Well, if we have free will, right? I mean, God never promised any of us a perfect life, you know? So it's like, okay, things happen to everybody. Everybody's going to hit a roadblock. And so, you know, I've got a book out there called True Strength that deals with the aneurysm that I had in my shoulder that blew up and sent a series of strokes into my brain. I suffered some strokes. It took me 3 years to recover. Now, am I going to blame God? Am I going to blame family, friends, and the world? Because a lot of people do. A lot of people that don't have faith, they blame God. A God they don't believe in, which is amazing to me. They blame, family, friends, the world. They don't want to take responsibility, look in the mirror and say, okay, this happened to me. What am I going to do about it? Because we all hit roadblocks. Everybody has a story. Nobody lives a perfect, hurtless life. Everybody's going to get hurt. Everybody's going to feel sorrow and pain and anger and all these different things. But, you know, how do you fight through it is really up to you. It's really the man in the mirror, you know, cue the Michael Jackson song. It just really comes down to saying, okay, this happened to me. What am I going to do about it? And it's so easy to blame everybody else. And I think that's why we have so much anger in the world. I think if you took the typical Antifa person, if I could do a documentary on them, I'd want to expose, they cover their faces anyway. Why do they cover their faces? Why do you think they do that? To protect them from getting arrested? No, I think there's more to it than that. They don't want to be discovered who they are because they don't like who they are. I think every day people out there that are filled with so much anger and hate, these trolls that attack people like you and me on the internet, they've got so much hate and anger in their lives that they hate anybody who has had any kind of success, anybody who's pursued their dreams, anybody who works hard. They probably failed once and just gave up. And their life is a series of failures. But these are the people that just gave up. And what they want to do, they want to drag you and me and everybody else that has worked hard in their life into the black hole that they live in. So they think it makes them feel better. All their hate and anger does is make them more angry and more hateful. It does nothing. It's like a horrible cancer they got to live with. And it's really up to them. It's like a drunk. You can only do so much for a drunk. They have to finally admit to themselves, I'm an alcoholic and I got to stop doing this. And that takes strength and guts to do it. And most people don't have the strength and they don't have the guts.
Yeah. And you've made an excellent point in times past that, you know, sometimes our greatest failures can become our greatest strengths. And I think a lot of the, you know, people who hate to look in the mirror every day because of who they are, if they would just surrender and give their life to Christ, he could turn that into their greatest strength. And that's why the Left Behind movie is not just a scary movie that's supposed to scare people. It's a message of hope to tell people that you don't have to wake up every day and be afraid of who you are. But there's so much that you can be in Christ. Now, the Left Behind movie doesn't just feature atheists and agnostics in there, but it also has, and I thought this was kind of interesting as I'm preparing for the film, woke pastors. The 2014 film, I know, had a pastor who was left behind. So most people would respond, well, surely that won't be me. So why do you bring it up?
Well, look what's going on out there right now. There are plenty of woke pastors out there. They're so afraid of losing their membership, their congregation, you know, their sheep. And that's what a lot of people are out there. There's sheep. We need to wake up the lions. The sheep are lost. We need to wake up the lions out there. There's a lot of people afraid to step out and just be honest and be truthful. And I know there'll be pastors left behind. I do a lot of speaking events. I do mostly pro-life or Christian education. And I always have people of cloth out in the audience. And I say, you guys need to be reminded that you work for God. You do not work for government. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these people do. You saw what happened with COVID, where the shutdowns happened, where they said churches aren't essential, but a strip club's essential, which made perfect sense, right? The liquor store's essential. I mean, the insanity of the weapon of fear that governments used of every country to control their citizens, and some went way overboard. I mean, look what Newsom did in California. It was crazy. Australia and New Zealand was insane. Trudeau as well. I mean, these guys, it's all power-hungry people that want complete control of our lives, and we need to fight back. It's absolutely ridiculous that we want these governments to take care of us from cradle to grave. I mean, this country became the greatest country in the world because of individuals, not government, not big government. But right now, our government right now is doing exactly what the monarchy did 250 years ago and why we had a revolutionary war. People wanted out of this. They didn't want to have that kind of control over their lives. And this country became awesome. And this country became the one country in the world that people wanted to come to legally and become American citizens. And now if you follow the American dream, you get attacked for that. So It's Nutsville out there right now.
Right. Kevin, you've done over 60 movies in your career, and this is obviously your newest
77
film.
To be exact, but who's counting?
Oh, so over 70 movies, even more than last time. So how has this movie impacted you compared to the rest?
Honored to be part of it, honored to be able to direct it, honored to bring in such a great cast. I brought in a lot of people that I've always wanted to work with. Corbin Burnson is amazing in this. Neil McDonald is fantastic. Bailey Chase, Greg Perot. When I cast Greg Perot in this movie, he got on the set and he was so excited. He said, "Kevin, I've read all the books, man. I'm a big fan of the Left Behind books." To be able to have this role, it's a big breakout role for him. He's an actor that's been working, but this is his biggest role by far. Sarah Fisher, I've worked with before, plays my daughter. She's amazing in it. She and I did eight episodes of a sitcom that hopefully gets released sometime. My wife is in it. My son is in it. They did an awesome job. We just had just a wonderful cast in this thing, and just to be part of it was an honor. It was just such a great experience to be on the set, to work with people on both sides of the camera that are so creative and so giving. It was a wonderful experience. And word from the Cloud 10 guys up there in Toronto that own the rights, they told me they're going to write the sequel to this one. So hopefully we'll shoot this by the end of this year as well to get the one going after this one, to see what the next chapter in the book is, you know?
That is super exciting. A lot of great things ahead. But when people go to the theaters next week, what do you want them to walk away with? And how do you hope that this impacts everyone and the church specifically?
I hope they spread the word. I hope they spread the word. Like I said earlier, I don't have a $100 million advertising budget to put the trailer in every football game, you know? So to me, I want people to go out and have a conversation. I hope it makes them open up the Bible, read the book of Revelation. I think this will steer a lot of people to it because that's the book it deals with. And hopefully that becomes contagious and they read the rest of the Bible too. But I want people to spread the word on this because I think there's something in here for everybody. Non-believers and believers alike. This is an action thriller is really what it is. It's not like in your face, you better become a Christian. It doesn't do any of that in this movie. This is like Blindside, you know, wonderful movie about that Texas Christian family to take in that African-American kid. People saw it of faith and said, what a great Christian movie. Other people said, that's not Christian. That was a great sports movie. But the message was still there. Right. And that's what this movie is going to be about as well. It's not like you better believe, because people don't like being preached to. And I get it. That's part of the stubbornness that we've raised people to be. But I still hope on their own, they have questions and they look for the answers, whether it's through the Bible, the internet, whatever it may be. I hope it makes people think a little bit, because we've lost the ability to think. We live in such a 6-second world where people have no attention span anymore, thanks to technology. You know, technology is great, but the internet is the Wild West, and we got to tame it somehow because it's crazy what it's doing to people.
Well, I'm sure you know, Kevin, we have lots of philosophers today on TikTok that are just telling the world how to think and what to do and what to believe. So. But
yes, they're part of the cancel culture, you know, and it's funny, you know, I used to do a lot of Comic Cons. I get blocked from doing them now because I'm supposedly a radical. And these are coming from people that say they will riot if Kevin Sorbo shows up at a Comic Con. And I'm like going, I'm amazed that these people who run these Comic Cons don't have the balls to at least let me show there, because there are a lot of fans who are going to be there. They get 10 emails and that's enough for them to cancel me. And so we live in a crazy time right now where people just bow to the smallest percentage of people, when all the other Comic Cons I've ever done, and even the ones I've been doing lately, even with, you know, cancel culture out there, those people who hate me don't show up. They don't come and talk to me. I would love to talk to them. I really would. I'm not looking for a fight, but they are. But most of them don't have the balls to even come up to me and talk to me face to face and have a conversation, because all they have is just anger and you know, labels. You're a homophobe. You're a transphobe. They just throw out labels without any evidence to back it up. They just love their labels. If I have a different set of point of view than they do, and they're the ones that scream and call people like me a Nazi. They're the ones who are actually a Nazi. I don't think they understand what fascism and being a Nazi actually means.
Time of redefining words, and definitely points towards us being at the end of time. And I'm really excited about going and seeing this movie next week. And, you know, it's sometimes awkward and to invite people to church, and it's hard to get them to come to church, but it's easy to invite people to a movie, you know, popcorn, drinks, and a good night out. So how can people get tickets to go see this movie?
LeftBehindMovie.com. It's pretty simple. LeftBehindMovie.com. You can see the trailer. Throw in your zip code. It shows you a theater near you. We're in 1,500 screens, and I think we have at least 300 up in Canada.
Outstanding. Well, that's going to be included in the show notes, as well as information on how you can connect with Kevin and the films that he does. So check that out in the show notes. Thank you, Kevin, for coming on the show today. And make sure you go watch this movie and tell your friends.
My pleasure. We'll talk about the next one that comes out next fall.
Outstanding. Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks. Take care.